Salve, minha mãe, né? Okay, great. How's everybody doing? Everybody had a great week. Okay. So the theme for today, which I think we need to really impart its significance to our children, but also take into consideration for ourselves in our own learning, is the importance of learning out loud. And that means, right, actually enunciating and expressing the Torah that we're learning. You know, there's so much that we study that we or that we read silently. You know, we even learn as part of the development of reading to ourselves, right? Reading to everybody in our lives. So you'd think that we should learn that way too, but that's not correct. And there are a few reasons why learning out loud and even studying can also be done out loud. But it depends on which library you're in. It might not be appropriate in the libraries. So that's what I want to explore today: different reasons why it's important to study out loud. And we're gonna learn a couple of pieces of Gemara and Halacha that reflect this principle to help us understand why it's important and how it might be applied in our own learning and also in our children's learning. But I thought I would open up the floor and kind of present it, you know, to as a question. Again, like we train our kids to read, and then how to read quietly, and then how to read without moving their lips. So why is it important as far as studying and learning Torah specifically to not do that? Right? That's the question I like to pose and like to explore tonight.
Well, that's Rabbi Cohn's famous ruach. That's Rabbi Cohn's famous ruach of the Beis Medrash.
Yeah, Ruach of the Beis Medrash, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it could be
But
distracting for us, for some
I
people.
mean,
I had one
there's
friend.
lots of reasons for a benefit of noise, just as there are a couple of reasons not to do it. But I mean, the not to do it is because some people don't learn like that. They're easily distracted. They start hearing other conversations. They start paying attention to other people. You know, it's not so simple for everybody. Not everybody learns the same way. But the reasons to do it are because it, number one, it shows everybody what you're actually doing, that you're not just sitting and reading a book, but you're supposed to be ungestockt in it.
Right, nice.
Anybody else here?
And I don't know. And it's an example to others to hear what you're doing so that they do it.
Yeah, definitely an example. Definitely an example.
Orangutan,
Okay,
not just
that's
Unger
good.
stuff. Orangutan.
Orangutan, yeah, okay. Larry, what do you want to
Have to go
say?
back to my yeshiva days for that. Sorry.
It synthesizes it for yourself and your chavrusa. When you say something out loud, it gets, I think, imprinted, right? A little more in your head. Right, and you struggle with it, right? But you get to it and you get some impression in your brain after you say something, you know, out loud, whether it's repeatedly or even one time. You know, when you quickly look at something, even putting aside, you know, shtagi, I'm talking just regular anything, right? When
Right.
you quickly look at something, your eyes just glaze over it. You may or may not remember every detail, but when you say something out loud, to me, it's a greater impression, I think, on your on who
Yeah.
you are, right? You know, and your knowledge.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Let's use that to swing into our first source. I'm just going to do a share screen for a moment, and I'm going to show everybody really interesting, kind of curious story and that to that effect. So give me one moment. Let's see if I analyze this. Okay, want is here again. None down there. Let's see. Okay. Let's do a screen share. Share content, share screen, start broadcast. Okay. this up. Okay, so this is Hebrew books. We've seen it a bunch of times. Going to pull out the Gemara that we want. It's a Gemara in Erevin, right here, third Masechta and Shas. And our Gemara appears on the very bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Let's see. Here we go. So this is a story about Bruria. Bruria is one of the Tanaim's wife. One of the Tanaim's wives, right? This is Rabbi Meir's wife. So it's right here. The story starts with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So first, it's to kind of show us how sharp she was. The Gemara says in the fourth to last line, but it's Yudah. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili have a kazal b'urche. He was traveling, the great town of Yossi Aglili was traveling, Ashkeche l'Bruria. And he came upon this woman, Bruria. Amar Allah, he said to her, very politely, Be'ezo derech nelech l'lud. In which direction should we go to the city of Lud? So Amar Allah, she says to him, Galili, which is a very, sharp way of referring to Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. Galili, Shota, fool? Lo kach amu chachamim, isn't this what the sages said? Altar basicha ma'isha, don't have lengthy speech with the woman. Okay, she goes on and says, Hay lecha lomar, what you should have said, Be'ezo lalud. Which way to Lud? Instead of Be'ezo derech nelech Lud. In other words, so she's upset with him for having used two extra words out of being polite. That's the end of the story with the real estate movie. Just kind of appreciate a little bit the character that is Bruria. But let's go on. Next story, and this is what's relevant for us. Bruria ashkachte lau talmida. She came across this student, Tahavikagaris Belachisha. He was learning Torah silently. Okay. So here's someone not enunciating the Gemara. Let's go to the next Amud. And says the Gemara, Batshabe, which basically means that she kicked him. But I'm not sure if that's a euphemism, but she kicked him. Amrale, she said to him, Lo kach kasev, isn't this what it says in the Torah? Arucha bakol ushmura. It means, prepared in all and guarded. So imarucha biramach ivarim, if a person's Torah is prepared corresponding to his 248 limbs, biramach ivarim shalcha mishtameres, then your Torah will be guarded, meaning it'll be imprinted, as Larry said, imprinted, meaning you'll be able to remember it sharply. V'imlav, but if not, ena mishtameres, you're going to have a tough time pulling it back up, recalling it. Memory's going to fail. Tanah was taught in the Braisa, commensurate with what Bruria had said. Talmud Echad Hayah Rebbe Eliezer. There was one student that Rebbe Eliezer had, Hayah Shona Balacha. She used to learn quietly. Lachar Gimel Shom, after 3 years, Shachach Talmudah. He had forgotten his learning. So this is the end of this Gemara. And this is our first reason to learn out loud. And it's this idea that the more expression we give to our learning, the more concrete it'll be in our own minds and our own memories, and we'll be able to recall it. And it's true, there might be a short memory of reading something, right? You can imagine, think about cramming before a test, you know, you look through the words, but the more we speak it out, the easier it'll be. And I know, you know, we think about, you know, how many of my students can still remember the laning from their Bar Mitzvah Parsha, even after, you know, years and years and years. And they're saying it, how many times they're saying it, that's true, but also it's the process of laning it that has it, has them pull it out. And they might know it better, they might know they're laning better than some parts of davening that they've been saying quietly, just because they're laning it out loud. So that's our first reason. Memory. Our children will remember their learning if they enunciate, they express that they learn it. But there's another reason to learn out loud, and this is specifically for Torah. And I want to show you another feature of Hebrew books in order to highlight this. This is not necessarily for children who are just starting to learn Gemara, but it's important for us to know about this, and eventually our children might want to do this. So let's see. Let's get this down here. Okay, so this is the same Hebrew books, but I want to show you there's another feature on this, which is the Shulchan Aruch. Actually, I'm finding the Shulchan Aruch is not here. Okay, let's go to Safari then. Let's go to Safari and do it that way. So we're going to go to Halacha. Halacha. Uh-oh. Halacha. Shulchan Aruch. So, Simon Mem Zayin is where we're going to, which is the middle of Hilchos Brachos. And this is the section where the Shulchan Aruch talks about specifically the Bracha Birchas HaTorah. And it's a very important bracha. Very careful about it. Take a look at Halacha Dalet in the Shulchan Aruch. Hamahari B'divrei Torah.
Rabbi, I have a blank screen. I don't know if it's just
really?
Me.
Oh, really? It's not working? Okay, let's see if I could.
Not sure if it's just me, but.
Oh, let's see. Oh, it says I just stopped. Let's try this one more time. Share screen. Thank you, Ari. Start broadcast. Okay. Okay, is that better? Okay, I hope that's better for everybody. So Halacha Dal is what we want. Hamahari b'divrei Torah, ein tzarech levarich. Says the Shulchan Aruch, someone who is thinking words of Torah, meaning a person wakes up in the morning and they're thinking words of Torah, they do not need to make a bracha. So just to reflect on that for a second. Right, a person is supposed to make a bracha before they learn Torah. That's what the whole siman is about, right? Halacha Aleph is Birchas HaTorah Tzarech L'Zarim HaMo'od. A person should be very careful with Birchas HaTorah. Halacha Beis, Tzarech L'Varich. A person needs to make a bracha on Torah, being the Mikra, being the Mishnah, being the Gemara, whether it's learning Psukim, Mishnayos, or Gemara. So the Rama adds even Agadata. Someone who writes the Torah needs to make a bracha, but someone who's thinking Divrei Torah, we can imagine a person scanning a book, scanning a sefer, they don't need to make a bracha. That's the Shulchan Aruch's position, and I think it draws home this point that we've been saying that there's something, or rather another layer of what we've been saying. And until now, we've been saying that if a person doesn't enunciate their Torah, they're not going to remember it so well. But now we're saying even the mitzvah itself has some lacking in its performance. The mitzvah itself has some lacking in its performance when it's not enunciated. And the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, Nabir Agra, he's not happy with this. He says, you know, I don't really get this. I know that we say that hirhur lav kedibur dami, right? Thinking is not exactly like speech. But here, look at this line right here. Of a kolzet tzarechian. This is very surprising what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. Tekan mevarech al mitzvah. Here, what we're talking about is making a bracha on a mitzvah. V'chi leka mitzvah behirur? Is there no mitzvah when a person thinks in Torah? Is there no mitzvah? V'halo nemar, but doesn't the pasuk say, v'higisa bo? V'higisa means to contemplate. And he says, it's on a lomar, believe. Doesn't that mean that there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah that's done when a person is learning in their heart? So this Gaon is often quoted as saying that, yeah, the Vilna Gaon holds that you have to make a bracha before you learn Torah in your mind, even if you're not enunciating it in your head, because there's a mitzvah of v'higisa b'yomon v'alai. And v'higisa means to think about it. So you fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah even if you just think about it. But, and maybe the Vilna Gaon would say that enunciating Torah helps you remember it. But the Shulchan Aruch is saying that, one more time, the Shulchan Aruch is saying that there's something lacking in the performance of the mitzvah such that you don't need to make a bracha on such a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the Vilna Gaon is surprised. Like, it sounds like almost, does the Shulchan Aruch think there's no mitzvah if you don't enunciate it? That would be hard to... be hard pressed to make such a claim, but maybe you would say something like, you know, brachos are made on mitzvot that are actualized, that are brought into action. And, you know, this mitzvah has to be brought into reality in a way that he or her doesn't really lend itself to. You have to be involved in Talmud Torah, right? We should remember that the bracha of that we make on Torah, the way we make the bracha, is Asher Kedushanu Matosav, he commanded us in the mitzvot v'tzivanu, and he commanded us la'asok b'divrei Torah, to work, la'asok, to work with Torah. So it could be that means, you know, expressing it in some fashion with our you know, physically, either by speech or by acting it out. So it could be that's what's happening here for the Mechaber, and has to do with the unique feature of brachos. But it really does seem like the Vilna Gaon surprised that, like, listen, you know, you're learning in your mind, you should be able to make a bracha on that as well. And the Shulchan Aruch says, no, there's something missing. The most extreme version of this that I saw is from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. That's the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Was written by the Baal HaTanya, Shnei Zalman Liadi. That's the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. He takes this position of the Shulchan Aruch very, very, very seriously. Take a look at Halacha Yud Beis. This is from, again, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. This is like the Baal HaTanya. This is the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. He writes like this: V'chol Adam Tzarech Lizdaher Lahotzi B'Sfasav. Every person needs to be careful to enunciate with their lips the Torah that they're learning. Ulashmiel Oznav, and also to hear the words of the Torah that they're learning. I know a lot of people are careful to do this by Kriya Shema. Kol Ma Shalomid, whatever it is that they're learning, and he's explicit, being B'mikra, whether it's Psukim, Mishnah, it means Mishnah is in Halacha, Talmud, Gemara. The only exception is Ela Imkein B'Shas Iyon, Lahavin Dabar Mitoch Dabar. When a person is really thinking about something in a deep way, they don't need to, you know, spell out all the thoughts that they're having. But when they're learning Gemara, they should be speaking it out. V'Chol Ma Shalomid B'Hirur, Levad, anything that a person learns with just thought, and here's the important caveat, the efshalo lahotzi b'sfasam, and they could have said it out with their lips. The eino motzi, but they did not. Eino yotze b'limud zeh yidei chovas mitos b'lamatem usam. They do not, with this learning, they do not fulfill the mitzvah of ulamatem usam, which is the mitzvah to learn Torah. Kemo shekazav, lo yamush sefer ha-Torah hazeh mi picha. This sefer Torah will not leave mi picha, from your mouth. Wow. And he says, it's like kol ha-mitzvos ha-tulios b'dibur, like all the mitzvos that are involved in speech, she'eno yotze ben yidei chovaso b'hirur, you can't fulfill that mitzvah with just thought. Unless you're listening, of course, then you can fill the mitzvah. Someone who listens to someone else speaking, that fulfills the mitzvah. So I caution, you know, if your children say to you, no, Abba, you read it, I'll listen. That's shomea ka'ona. Please do not use that. That's not a good etza. But we can just see ourselves how intensely this comment of Rav Shneur Zalman Liadi, you know, following that line, that read that we had in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch sounds like he's saying, you don't need to make a bracha on it. So we were saying, maybe the mitzvah doesn't, you know, reach the threshold to obligate in the bracha. It's lacking some kind of expression. But the Shneur Zalman Liadi takes this extremely seriously. He's saying, you didn't do the mitzvah. You didn't do the mitzvah with the matzah mitzvah. You know, with just this one caveat of v'efshar lo lahotzi b'sfasot, you could have expressed it. You could have expressed it and you didn't. There's something lacking. And he gives one more point. This is here, look at this line. I just saw this when I was preparing this shiur, and I didn't remember. Either I remember, I didn't see this before. He says, a person doesn't know what they're learning when it comes to Torah Shebechsav. If a person's reading Pesukim, they don't understand what the Pesukim mean. So that's still Talmud Torah. That's still Talmud Torah, Torah Shebechsav. They could read the Pesukim, you're hearing the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the words of the Navi. That's still Talmud Torah. But Torah Shebaal Peh, they need to actually know what the words mean. And if they don't know what the words of the Gemara mean, if they don't know what the words of the Mishnah mean, instead of reading the words, Eino nechshav limud klal. That's not learning at all. And then he says, and even if a person doesn't know what's happening, a person should really evolve themselves in every part of the Torah, even the parts that he's not able to understand. Look at this line. In the future, a person who will one day understand and reach all the Torah that they worked on in this world that they weren't able to understand, they couldn't understand because of their own, our own limitations, anything that we worked on, we'll be able to understand Lasad Lavo. It's an amazing, amazing nechama. You know, a person could spend so much time on a certain sugya in Erevin. It's very, very difficult and feel like, oh my gosh, I spend hours and I still don't know what's going on. So Baal Tanya writes, you've worked on it, that creates something. And there is some schar. And that creation and the schar will be that you will understand it one day. And that day might be an Olam Haba, but you will understand it one day. So it's kind of like a, you know, two parts to it. On the one hand, just speaking it out, if you don't understand it, it's not going to be good enough. On the other hand, it creates something. It creates something spiritual. It creates some kind of potential, and the understanding will come. The understanding will come when it comes. So our first reason for learning Torah out loud is, we'll call it, the imprint phenomenon of person's memory. It's shmura. That's what Bruria was upset about, that student that he wasn't learning out loud, and the other student who had forgot all his learning. But the second level, which comes from the Shulchan Aruch and comes from this conversation with the Vilna Gaon and Shneur Zalman Liadi, is that there's a higher level of the mitzvah that's done when a person speaks it out. And that mitzvah performance with our body creates something. It creates something for our neshama. It creates something for us. And eventually we'll understand even things that are very, very difficult for us. And we are in fact performing the mitzvah and, you know, putting it in the bank for ourselves when we perform this mitzvah to our fullest, to try to understand it as best as we can, and to speak it out, to express it with our words. Okay, there's an interesting Gemara, Daf Yomi, that came up recently. That I don't want to read the Gemara inside, but it is an interesting Gemara. I know that I'm bringing up the key. That's the next verse already. But the Gemara talks about these two young men who were grandsons of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, and they were both mutes. And every time Rabbi would come to the Beis Medrash, they would follow him to the Beis Medrash and they would sit right in the front. And these two young men, these two brothers, they would kind of shake their heads and nod their heads to the shir, and their lips were moving in sync to the shir. And nobody really understood if they were getting anything out of the shir because they couldn't communicate with anyone. So the Gemara says that Rebbe had profound rachmanis for them. And he had it in his heart, he needed to daven for them. And he davened for them, and somehow they got healed. And even though they had never spoken before, they suddenly, their voice boxes worked, or whatever the problem was, they were healed, and they were able to speak. And the Gemara says that it turns out that they knew all the Mishnayos, all the Sifri, all the Sifra. The Gemara says they knew Kol HaTarakula. The whole time that they had been silent, they had been learning. So that's that line, that line that we saw in Rosh Hashanah Zamliani, where he says, you know, im efshar. There's a mitzvah to speak it out if you can. So these two mutes had been doing the best that they could with the powers that they had, which was to kind of figure out what's going on and figure out what's going on in the Gemara. And I remember, you know, on that note, I remember going to Ner Yisrael for a Shabbos. And when I was there, I saw that there were two or three men who, young men, young students, who were deaf. And there was a student who was assigned to do a sign language for this year. And it was, I remember what this year was about. But I remember also just being fascinated by, you know, this Maturgamon, Miturgamon, really, with his hands, trying to, as quickly as he can, sign over the shear to his two friends. And I just remember him, you know, faltering on a certain line that was unclear, and, you know, the people quickly signing back to him, and he makes a shrug on his shoulders, like he's trying his best to understand the shear and sign at the same time. It was really, 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 really fascinating, and it was very moving to see such effort to give over the Torah of their Rebbe, and you know, the Rebbe wasn't slowing down for them, and we expected them to keep up, and they did. I was also confused about that line that the person who was signing was confused about himself. And it just reminds me of this Gemara, these two mute people, and they knew that they were, you know, the most impressive students in the Beis Medrash, even though nobody knew about it. But they had been working with the capabilities that had been granted to them to the best of their abilities, and so they were really mastering the content. So that's this idea of trying to do the mitzvah as best we can, and that means speaking it out. It means speaking it out means learning out. There is one more piece that I want to talk about, and it's this Gemara here in Kiddushin, and a similar Gemara and a parallel Gemara that appears in Bar Mitzvah. And I guess we can learn this Gemara in Kiddushin first. Let's see, and then when we get to the Gemara in Bar Mitzvah, this Gemara in Kiddushin will be clarified a little bit. But it opens up on the second to last line, towards the end of the line. Tana Rabban, our rabbis taught in a brisa. Vishinantam, it's the pasuk in Kriya Shema, Vishinantam l'lanecha v'dibar tabam, you should teach them to your children. But Vishinantam is a difficult word. It's surprising that it means teaching. So the Gemara makes a drasha based on the etymology of the word shinun, like it sounds like the word shane, like a tooth. So the Gemara says in the very last line, what does it teach us? Shiyu divrei Torah mechudadim beficha. The Torah should be sharp in your mouth. She'im yishal lecha adam davar. The person asks you a question. Al tegamgim. Don't murmur or stutter. V'tomer lo, and then kind of speak it out. Ella, rather, Amar lo miyad. The person should be able to say it out immediately. Skip to the Gemara in Bar Mitzvah for a second. So what did the Gemara just say? The Gemara said that when a person learns Torah, they should learn it halacha l'maisa, in a way that they can answer any question that comes their way, right? Ace any test, handle anything that's thrown at them. That's v'shinat l'vanach hashim mechudad and b'ficha. And it fits with this idea that we've been describing in a very simple level, that we have to enunciate our Gemara, know it as best as we can, perform the mitzvah on the highest level. But take a look at this Tosfos right here. So again, this is the Hebrew books that we had before, right? Same format. This is the, you know, regular daf of the Gemara. But I want to take a look at this Tosfos here. Tosfos de Ramaskel, the Masechta. So it's right here in the middle of the Tosfos. But let's see the Gemara first. The Gemara here says, and we can spend time talking about this Gemara on a different day, but a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara here says in the very last, second to last line, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Bahani Tzalat Smili, in these three things, three different matters, very last line now, Avidi Rabbanan, it's normal for rabbis, Dimishanu, Bimilayu, that they will deviate in their words from the truth. I mean, these are three areas where rabbis frequently, or it's normal for them to lie. The first is b'mesechta, and that's what we're going to focus on. The other two are b'puraya u'shpiza. B'puraya means matters of intimacy. Rabbis will lie about their personal lives that are, you know, romantic in nature. U'shpiza, they might lie about the specifics of a host that they stayed at to protect the host. We want to focus on Masechta. They may lie about their learning. That's what Tosfos, that's what we're going to look at right now. What does that mean, they may lie about their learning? So it says Tosfos, the Masechta. Actually, let's see what Rashi says first. I realize that it's going to be confusing if we don't do Rashi. So Rashi says, what does that mean to lie about the Torah? Says Rashi, Yesh biyatcha mesechta ploni. Did you learn this mesechta? Right? Yesh biyatcha mesechta ploni. Sidur begirsa, do you have it? Do you have it down? Do you know the text of it? Olav or not? So va'af agav sidur hilo, even if a person knows the Gemara really well, Yomer lo, the rabbi is entitled to say, Lav, no, I don't know it so well. Umidas anava hi. It is an expression of humility to say that I don't know it so well, or I don't know it at all. So, okay. So again, what's Rashi saying? You know, a person is asked, do you know this topic? And a person is entitled, said Rashi, a person is entitled to lie. A rabbi is entitled to lie and say, no, I don't actually know it. And it's normal. That's the Gemara saying. It's normal for rabbis to lie about this. So, says Tosfos, right here. Ve'im tomar, and if he will say, ve'ha'amar, but didn't the Gemara in Kiddushin say, v'shinantam, and that means, shiu devei Torah mechudan v'ficha, that you should be really sharp in your learning of Torah. Shim yishalcha adam, if a person asks you, al tagam gein v'tomar lo, you won't murmur or stutter and answer him. Elamar lo miyad, you'll be able to give the answer right away, clearly, succinctly. So how can our Gemara say that a person is allowed to say, I don't know? Sounds like the Gemara in Kiddushin says very clearly, a person's not allowed to say, I don't know. They have to give the sharp answer. So Tosfos gives one answer, and I want to share another answer with you, and we'll compare and contrast. Says Tosfos, V'yesh lomar. There is to say to answer this question. Tahainu dafka, this is specifically, ba'adam habalish al din ohara, ol hislami. A person has to give a clear and succinct and sharp answer if someone asks a din, meaning a halacha. Oh, they ask how we pass in a certain case. Ola hislamed, or they want to learn the sigha. Person asks and comes to you and asks for help in ascertaining the halacha, in ascertaining the manner of psak, or in ascertaining the understanding, the correct understanding of the sigha. Person has the obligation to tell them. Aval hacha, but this gemara where a person is allowed to lie, here, shabal in asota. Here, the person is asking to test. Imiodeya, are you familiar with this Gemara? I mean, he's asking a question that he knows the answer to, and he wants to see if you know the answer as well. So in that case, mutar lashanos for lomar lolamatisa. A person is entitled to lie and say, no, I don't really know this sugya. I don't really know this sugya. So that's Tosfos' answer. Again, let's repeat. Tosfos is saying, as the stira, on the one hand, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that a person has to give a sharp answer. You ask the question, you give a sharp answer. On the other hand, the Gemara Bava Metzia says, rabbi is entitled to lie and say, no, I don't know it. So how do you make head or tails of that? So Tosfos says, simple answer. If he's asking for help in halacha and how to understand a sugya, you have to tell him. That's the mitzvah of Ishinantim. But if a person knows the answer and is just trying to test you, trying to see if you know it, so then you're entitled to avoid that whole test, the whole conversation, and just say you don't know. So, that is Tosfos' answer. Now, Shita Mikubetzas, written very important work, written by a number of people. But it was led by a great, great, great teacher and thinker, Rav Bital Ashkenazi. So it was put together in the 1500s. Rav Bital Ashkenazi, his top student is very, very famous. Rav Bital Ashkenazi's his prize student was the Ari. The Arizal was his prize student. And his students put together with him, a collective commentary of many of the Rishonim. All together in this in one collection called the Shita Mikubetzas, right? The collected position. And it's actually funny, Rav Bital Ashkenazi was the Sephardi chief rabbi in Yerushalayim. So a little joke is that when he was the chief rabbi, the Sephardi chief rabbi was Ashkenazi, because that was his name. But it's also true, he was Ashkenazi. And not only was he the Sephardi chief rabbi, but he was also the Ashkenazi chief rabbi. He really was. And it was after, they went back to having two chief rabbis after he passed away. So he was like really a brilliant person, brought learning together. So he said a completely different answer to this question. He said, when we say Vishnantam Levonecha, does that mean that you have to give a sharp answer when someone asks you a question? Or does that mean you have to be able to give a sharp answer when someone asks you a question? Meaning, Shita Mikubetzos is claiming, or Bata Ashkenazi is claiming, that the mitzvah is just to learn with such clarity that you could answer any question if you asked. So Gemara Bavantia is telling us that you don't have to answer every question. You're entitled to say, I don't know. You're entitled to work on humility. You don't have to answer every question that's thrown your way. So this is an important distinction that, you know, a point in Lumdus that we should teach our children to recognize when we see it is the difference between koach and poel. That's just an important idea. Make that point. Koach and poel. Poel means actuality, like almost like kinetic energy in physics. And koach is potential. It's like potential energy in physics. And so what is the mitzvah of Vishinantam? To learn with such clarity that you can answer any question. Is that a mitzvah of koach? Meaning a person has to have the potential. They have to know it, to measure how well they know it, that they could answer any question. In which case, there's no stira at all. The Gemara in Kiddushin is saying you don't need to answer every question that's thrown at you, right? You just need to know it really well. Or according to Tosfos, no, part of Vishinantam is actually saying the answer when asked. Part of the mitzvah is speaking it out and answering the question. Yeah, if a person is trying to test you because they already know the answer, so you're not teaching them anything, you're entitled to say, I don't know. But part of the mitzvah is talking it out. Tosfos does not like, you know, he does not approve of the Shittim Mikbetz's answer that it refers to potential. But he means actuality, following this trend that we've discovered from the Shulchan Aruch and you know, the point that the Gaon was picking up on as well, and Rav Shneur Zalman Liadi, that part of Talmud Torah is speaking it out. And sometimes part of Talmud Torah is the back and forth with someone else. Someone asks you a question, you give the answer. That is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to say the answer, according to the Mikbetz says, there isn't a mitzvah to enunciate the answer. The mitzvah is to have the clarity of knowledge. And it's true. It's true, speaking things out also helps us process. It also helps us process it and understand it on a deep level. And there's no question. When we talk things out for ourselves, you know, when we teach Gemara to our children, and I teach Gemara to my students also, I find my level of understanding of the Gemara becomes way better after I've done the teaching or in the process of teaching. Speak it out and translate every single word improves my understanding of the sugya dramatically. And we should encourage our children to also try to speak out the svaras that the Gemara is making and not make these jumps, but really, really to speak it out. It will increase their understanding. So what are our three main reasons to learn out loud? The first is memory, that's Shmura, that's the story of Bruria, so we started. The second is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself, is to speak it out according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to Shneur Zalman Liadi. Maybe a layer of the mitzvah is done by speaking it out, or maybe the mitzvah itself is to speak it out. And then the third level is this Vishinantam. When we speak it out, whether it's potential or actually speaking it out, we process it and we understand it on a much deeper, much, much deeper level. Any questions? Otherwise, everybody have a great evening. Had a great time learning with everybody today. Is there a question? Or I just see people just...
I just wanted to say thanks. It was a good share.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Appreciate that. Okay, so I hope to see everybody next week. Looking forward to hearing from everybody again. Shaya,
have a good day.
Good night.
Yep, thanks. Good night. Well. Thank you.
Hi, Daddy. You're on mute. Okay.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Mommy was sitting here next to me. She's hiding. She doesn't want to be seen.
Oh, she's hiding. Oh, I see. Yes, yeah, she should not be seen. It's recording, so.
I thought you could stop the recording.
Well, I don't see
it. I think it's still recording.